What's the most important resource that you have? If you really thought about this deeply, I think you'd come to the same conclusion that Joey and I did. It's time. In our newest book, What's Without Wall Street, The 3 Steps to Financial Freedom Through Passive Income, we talk about how are we tracking that time? What is the thing that we can do to get more of that time back?
That's right. If you've ever been listening to our podcast and thought, man, it would be amazing if I could take all the things that you guys have learned over the last 10 years and just summarize them, put them in some way to easily digest them and take action, that's what this book is all about. You're not going to want to miss it. Go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/newbook and get your copy today.
Russ, man, I had a fantastic time at the beach with the family a couple weeks ago. But I don't know if I told you, I met a bunch of people down in Florida from Birmingham. I thought that was kind of weird. It's like, hey, we're all there. Now we all just see each other down here.
Did you guys take, like, was there some sort of discount or something that was being marketed here in Birmingham? You guys all bought the deal?
I don't know where they came from, but they've been going for like 25 years, these couples. And it was just this really quiet area of the beach. But I remember this particular conversation with Mary. She came up. She was asking us about our Wealth Without Wall Street swim shirts. Of course, my whole family was wearing them, so it's kind of obvious. It's kind of like a walking billboard.
You guys are like a team down there.
Yeah, I mean, we had to write the trip off at some point. But anyways, you know, something came out of that conversation. She said she was working for 40 years, and she said, yeah, it's interesting. She said, now I'm looking up, and this is all there is. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, well, you know, the money that I've put away for 40 years, this is all there is. Like it's got to last. And you and I know that, right? We've talked about this on the show, that the accumulation method is a villain. It's taught you over your lifetime to be scrimping and saving and scrimping and saving and putting away and hoping. And then now you've got this mountain of money that you need to last, and you hope that it's going to last. And so what does it do? It continues that scarce mindset to say, what if it runs out?
Well, you talk about it being this mountain. Well, is that mountain like a mudslide? is it withering in a way? Is it a fire on that mountain that's burning the money down? That is a really interesting thing. I'm sure. How old was Mary?
She was probably mid-60s, maybe almost 70.
Well, so you think about that. In today's time frame, if Mary's taking care of herself, she probably could live 15 to 25 years easy.
Right.
Can you imagine what it would feel like to say, I have this amount of money to live on and always be concerned, will it run out? And then, like, I had a conversation with a guy today at the gym who's in his 70s, and he's coming to me and asking me about the election. We're about, you know, this is being recorded right before the week before the election is happening. And he's concerned. He's like, I got enough money as it is, but he's wondering, could I take a 25% haircut?
Mm.
And that would definitely change his outlook on things. I love the fact that our conversation today is with a former stockbroker, someone who had been there and done that, who was managing money, had been doing it for over 15 years, and in his personal experience realized that he was getting much greater returns personally in real estate.
Yeah, Randy Lawrence is our guest today, the real estate preacher. So he's taking us to church today, but I love the fact that he did break free in something that was said without being said in this interview is that, man, he was courageous. You know, he had been telling people a certain path for 15 years and had to give that up. He had to kind of come face to face and say, there is a better way. Cash flow is much more powerful than accumulating and hoping that it's enough. And there's a lot more nuggets that are going to come out of this interview. I don't want to hold us off of that conversation too long, but man, just to hear that people that he is helping now, they don't have that scarce mindset. They have a mindset that says, I can be paid every month off of this investment and still be growing that asset. That's huge.
Well, and to also not worry about when the next crash comes, will that reduce?
Yes.
I mean, he went through the dot-com crash. That was when he was kind of managing people's money. He was wise enough to get out before the 08 market crash there, but he has seen it. He's been through a lot of the ups and downs of the market. He's seen how cash flow and real estate have been able to weather those storms. And I think you're going to get a lot of out of this. I know he's going to be preaching to the choir, if you will, but it's always good to hear someone else repeating what we know is true, just so that way it reminds us that we don't let that Wall Street mindset creep back in. So let's jump into our interview with Randy Lawrence.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Welcome into the show today, and we are going to church with the real estate preacher, Randy Lawrence. Man, thanks for being here.
Oh, yeah. Awesome, man. Excited to be here, man. It's going to be a great day. I know just some of the pre-chat beforehand. Looking forward to what we're going to be talking about.
All right, Randy. And every good sermon, that the Lord takes us through different moments, trials of our life sometimes. He tells us he's there with us in the valleys as well as on the mountain. So I want to take you back a little bit. You before getting into the real estate game full time, were doing it personally. Yep. And at that time, you were also doing something that Joey and I don't like to refer to. We kind of bleep out these words, but you were in the stock market. You were teaching and helping people with their money. Yep. And obviously, you've been doing that, it sounds like, for 15 years. So you had to be doing it pretty successfully. Yep. And there was a time that you decided, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to make a transition. Talk us through how that came to be and what was going through your head at that time.
Yeah. So I started off, I was a kind of 80s kind of era, Gordon Gekko, Wall Street movie, you know, Bud Fox. And so a friend of mine was a broker in Tallahassee, FSU. It engendered me to think that way. I was going finance economics. I came from private banking where I was working there through college. So that was just, that's all I knew, right? That's the thing. That's what I'm doing. And then in 99, I had bought a first multifamily, a small duplex, right? And that was at the same time you've got Y2K and the tech crash was fixing to unfold and all that. But, you know, here I am with this duplex, and the duplex is just killing it, right? I mean, I've got just great cash flow return off of this duplex. I've got it was in a quality area where we live by the Clearwater Beach area. So you've got also visible appreciation happening with the property as well. And it's simultaneous to that track going on. You've got the meltdown going on in the, like, you know, people may not remember about how computers were going to blow up at the Y2K thing and right. The world is going to shut down. And, you know, I mean, it seems so silly now. And even, you know, the day after it seemed pretty silly, but
that was the first time they sold out of toilet paper, I think. That was the first
exactly, right? Yeah, for sure, right? Yeah, it's like, oh my God, all the computers are going to shut down. Let's raid the stores. But so, you know, you also saw that. And what happened is that was a precursor to the tech crash too, where people are getting scared. And then, you know, then boom, of course, the tech crash happens. People in their portfolios losing, you know, ours was not as bad. Good God, some people that were massive exposed lost 50% of their money. But again, many of our portfolios might've been down 20-25%, depending on the person's, you know, aggressive level or whatever. And so those conversations are very difficult because you're saying, hey, you're down, you know, you want to stay, you want to hang in there, you know, it's going to, you know, the next 5 years will be better. But those are still difficult conversations. And then also too, for the guy that's 65 years old, that's planning on retiring in March, or maybe he just retired in December and wham, he just gets hit for 25% loss on his, you know, $1 million. That's tough, man. And so all that's happening at the same time. And then simultaneously to that, I'm making money quality in this duplex apartment, right? And without click, you know, boom, boom, money's just coming in, boom, boom, boom. And so that began to be the seed of thinking, and then really beginning to contrast those two. Now, I also had not necessarily minored in my finance degree in real estate, but had definitely taken several courses in the commercial real estate finance element, and real estate kind of appealed to me. And so as I did this, now I'm tracking to see like, wow, look at how much I'm making and look at what's going on in the stock market. So that began to be over that couple of year period, just the thinking of that, you know, and then pretty non-emotionally comparing the results of the two. And when I looked at the beta or risk adjusted return of what I was receiving on what I invested in this property versus what I was returning on it versus what was happening in the stock and bond portfolio, it was hands down just no comparison. I just, like, you could see it as plain as the nose on your face. And so that began to be for me the wheel to click to be like, this is the direction I want to go. And then not only was it like, okay, hey, this is going to be beneficial for me to accumulate wealth, but it's going to be beneficial for the people I work with. So 2003, we started the private equity company focusing on the real estate investment and began having other people invest with us at that time. And then over that 3-year period, I'm doing both, still managing money in the registered investment advisory firm. But really at that time, it's where I could really just, it's like, you know, Charlie Brown, school teacher, right? In the cartoon, wah, 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 wah. And I felt like that as I'm talking to people. And again, we helped a lot of people and did a lot of good things in that arena. But it's like, I knew at that moment, you know what, as painful that this is, the only thing I've ever known is finance and Wall Street and all that. That's what I went to college for and the whole bit. It's like, now this is the direction God wants me to go. This is the direction I want to go. This is the direction that's going to benefit people far superior to what I've done the last 15 years. And so that really became the decision, like, all right, this is where we're going. This is what we're going to do. And it culminated with selling my practice in 2006.
So I had a very similar experience, had a very profitable business, very well respected in the marketplace. And I up and said, hey, I'm going cold turkey. I didn't even have the 3-year run rate there going up to it to where you've built this side business that's now taken over. What was the feedback from the market when you said, hey, by the way, I'm getting out of this business? I mean, what was the response?
Oh, yeah. Well, people are, you know, they're like, wow, that's kind of dumb, right? You know, how easier can it be? You got a tie and you go to work and you got all this money you're managing and you're making the fee income and, you know, you got your stockbroker and a money manager, ooh, you know, and like, yeah. So people didn't understand because, like, you're taking this thing that's a sure thing where you've got this income just being generated and future potential, to then stepping out really kind of in faith to this unknown venture, if you will. And, you know, the thing of that, though, is I think having good counsel, right? There's a great quote that says that the war is won by wise counsel. And so you got to speak with not Sally or Sue or Bob that's not done it. You talk to somebody that has. And I know you guys deal a lot with the coaching and connecting like that, too. And it's because what I did is I talked to people who had been successful in real estate. So one of the guys, he's still a good friend today, Jewish guy, private capital guy, real estate attorney, been a real estate investor for probably at that time, you know, 20 years, was no longer a practicing attorney because of real estate, right? And so he became a friend and a mentor to me in 03. And in talking with him, I'd meet with him periodically and have lunch. And I'm like, man, this guy's doing this and he's making this and he's making this money. And so that began to be listening to people like that versus listening to the naysayers that say, ooh, what about the scary stuff? And, you know, and that began to be kind of a seed for me. It's like the mentorship of seeing people that do what I want to do, that's who I connect with and learn from them, because then that's going to help me navigate some of these uncertainties.
How wise is that, though, that you are seeking counsel from someone who understood, right? I mean, that's the time that a lot of times I remember when I was, you know, as a registered investment advisor and giving advice, I knew nothing. I really knew nothing. I knew more than the person who was asking.
Yeah.
But in relationship to the overall game, I knew nothing. And so a lot of times people right now are asking people, I mean, I got asked a question today at the gym, what should I do? You know, with this election coming up, do you believe if this person is elected or this person is elected, will we see a downturn? And the answer is, I don't know. And the reality is, I think you might be able to get some people who would say they do know.
Yeah.
But the reality is, it's a really small percentage who actually know. Yeah. Well, so when you were in that position, I mean, I congratulate you for getting out of that. I don't know. I know you live down on the coast. I'm sure you took a nice swim out in the ocean to get all of that off of you.
Yeah.
But after
I got to tell you right here, and this again for your listeners, that's the truth, right? There's some sticky, icky people in that business, right? Because like, now again, I was always driven by I wanted to make money, but I always did the right thing by my client, right? But again, in that business, man, there are so many people. It's like, okay, I can sell this product and it pays 8%. I can sell this product and it pays 6%, or I can sell this product and it pays 4%, and the 4% is better for the client, but you know, whatever, marginally, and they're going to sell the 8% because at the end of the day, they don't give a crap, right? Yeah. And I'm not saying that about everybody, but there's a lot of people in that industry. Like, I just look at a settlement that just came out on Wall Street just now with the Malaysian dishonesty settlement of like a $5 billion penalty that they paid because of the dishonesty and bribery that they operated with for like whatever, 5, 6, 7 years. And you go, oh my God, they paid a $5 billion penalty. That's 9 months of profit. So, but again, they made all this money for like 10 years doing wrong things. It's just, there's a lot of that goes on in that arena. Not painting the broad brush with everybody, but it's like, there is that. So yes, I'm like, thank God I'm not dealing with that mess anymore. And I've got the freedom to just call it like it is and, you know, just do the thing that I want to do.
So talk to me about this. I'm going out on a limb to ask you if your experience is the same way that ours has been, is that the Wall Street mindset has taught people to do certain things with their money that are really opposite of how true wealth is built.
Yeah.
Without me telling you what our thoughts were, mm-hmm. How have you experienced that same thing? And how are you kind of changing that model for your clients now?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, like you think about the Wall Street model and then even to the broker dealer setup back in is really in the 50s is where it was promulgated across the country with a giant sales force and the model that we see today. And then again, even further with the change of the pension to the 401k, where it just began to be a Wall Street swooping in all the money and then basically telling people like, okay, that you're going to save your way to success, right? And it's like, that's just not a real true functional reality. Now, again, I'm also not saying you need to spend like a wild monkey and just buy whatever you want. And no, it's like, you've got to be prudent and, you know, operate from a budget and operate with financial parameters in your life, but you're never going to just purely just pinch and save, coupon clip, and get your way to wealth. You've got to have a vehicle for wealth creation. And, you know, it starts with beginning to bring together capital. And then with that capital, begin to leveraging it into accumulation. And so, yes, maybe it is if you're an attorney or a doctor or whatever, or a school teacher, you're going to have to start off saving to accumulate some seed capital. Or you could get pooled together with other people and bring together seed capital. But then now there becomes a vehicle to begin to generate cash flow, generate the accumulation, generate the opportunity to generate wealth. And, you know, Wall Street's model is put your money away, scrimp and save, give it to us, we'll manage it, and then eventually you'll have enough money. Now, and if you look at the facts of the matter, who's got the real wealth? The people that are scrimping and saving are the ones that are managing the money. It's the brokerage house that's managing the money oftentimes has the wealth. And, you know, it's gone downhill even from there. I have one client that's invested with us and he's a doctor, retired. He came to us and a national broker dealer was working with him, or however you describe him. And his model was like, if he lived to 90, he's going to be okay. If he dies at 90, he won't run out of money. And it's like, that's a terrible model. And the guy had, you know, substantial money, But again, they're doing it on a drawdown method of earning, you know, 6.5% and drawing this, and eventually, because, you know, life expectancy is 87. So that kind of foolproofs their model. Like, well, you're past 87, which is the average life expectancy here in the US. So we give you a 3-year cushion to die. And it's like, wow. So, you know, but with that, he transitioned his assets into, you know, quality cash flowing investments with us and in other related companies. And so now, as a young, whatever, 65-year-old guy, him and his wife are traveling. They're being able to support the Girl Scout, Boy Scouts camp down the road. They fund a mission for their church, an orphanage in Brazil or Belize. And, you know, they're enjoying life. So a whole different mindset that exists between the two worlds.
Okay, well, I want you to go a little bit deeper on that particular point. So you shared with us ahead of time that now you kind of see your business as serving two different types of people.
Yeah.
One is that investor. So let's talk about the investor first. That transition for him, what was it about what you're doing with him that created that whole change and that transition from, hey, I hope I don't die, you know, too much later than this, or yeah, versus, hey, I've got more freedom yeah now to live what I really want to live. Talk about yeah that transition.
Well, I think, you know, most people are motivated by two primary things, pain and pleasure. And so, like, say, for example, him, it was finally the pain of, you know, all right, he's a productive working doctor, making money, socking it away, you know, accumulating a couple million bucks, whatever it is, $2-3 million. And people go, oh my God, that's $2 million, so much money. It's like, well, you know, like, not really in today's economy, you know, but okay. So, but when reaching that point of no longer producing income, now you've got to really rely on the income from it. And that begins to be the shocker or the wake up. Hey, I've got a year left before retirement. And then this firm, this Wall Street firm, is telling me I got to die at 90 or I'm going to run out of money. So okay, now it starts to become real because they can't kick the can down the road anymore. Just, hey, work a little more, put a little more in, take a little less. At some point, you kind of got to come to Jesus, right? It's like, that's the truth. It's like, bam, you're meeting to that thing. And so that began to be for him to seek out a better way. And so what is the better way? Connected Together was referred to us by other people that experienced it, because what happened when I sold my practice and left, the Wall Street modeling was still at a place where you could say average 10, pull 7, 8. And then now when I was in the stages of selling my practice, they, you know, compliance department say, let's bump it down to 8 and 6. And then now later it's like 4 and 6.5, you know? So it's like, they're squeezing people because that's just the truth of return. And so he came to us and it's like, well, what's the better way? And so we began to break down the power of what cash flowing real estate can do, because we've had people that have invested with us that have been earning 10 and 12% returns without loss for the last 17 years and or more. And so, you know, when we sat down and discussed that, it's like, look, here's the power of what, like, say, for example, cash flowing apartments can do. You can earn 7% on cash flow every year and have a built-in appreciation factor of 5. So it's like you're taking this chunk of money and instead of spending it down, you're actually preserving it, growing it at the same time that it's providing for you an income. And it's like, wow, that was a whole new kind of epiphany for him and his wife. And because, well, I haven't seen that before. Is it possible? Well, yes, it's possible. It's just, you know, this is a different approach than maybe what you've been indoctrinated into. And so that began to be a probably couple year process for him to make that transition. You know, it wasn't probably all at once, but over that couple of years preceding up to retirement, he was able to see the success that was generated. And then with that success engendered more confidence to then say, you know what, when you know something's true and you know something's right, you begin to just know it. It's like there's a term in the Bible, gnosko. It's like you know it in your being. And like that was for him. It's like, okay, I believe this. Let me take a step. Oh yeah, I'm experiencing it to be true. I see it to be real. I see the testimonies of other people. And then boom. And you know, it's just a successful outcome. I think we even did a podcast with him as well, you know, so he's not, you know, hiding the truth. So
well, I love what you're talking about there too. It really kind of brings out the mentality of scarcity versus abundance.
Yeah.
When you're in a state of mind where I can only spend so much money every single year and I only have this amount of years to spend it, then it's like, okay, well, maybe I need to like increase my diet with like powdered donuts.
Yeah.
Because, you know, maybe I can cut that time shorter by that way, but I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to go eat really well and spend lots of money. I mean, we had a dinner the other night with Joey and he spent more money on that dinner than I've ever spent in a month's worth of dinners. But it is like, you don't think that way when you're in this scarcity mindset versus when cash flow keeps coming every single month. I think you give people freedom to think, I can spend all of this every single month and it's going to keep happening.
Yeah, 100%. You nailed it. You can see in him and his wife a demonstrable different life experience now because of that very thing. And so that's where, again, go back to the question that Joey, you mentioned about, or the difference of the mantra or mindset of Wall Street. That's the scarcity mindset that comes along with it. It's like they're conditioning people to scrimp, save, and penny pinch. You know, no matter what it is, like, all right, if you're making 400,000, 500,000, there's still, you need to put away 150,000 to get to this place. Or if you're making 200,000, you know what I mean? It's just all of that.
Right.
And then in retirement, it's about retiring with less money and lower income and more, you know, coupon pinching. And it's just, it's not really necessary. I mean, and that was the thing that for me, it's like, my mission is to help more people like him. And I shared with you the story of Diane before that, like, it's changed their life, right? You know what I mean? Because they have greater abundance. They have greater ability to help their church or their charity or their mission, their travel, their life experience, and preserving a legacy of wealth that's not just being squandered, but now can impact the next generation, you know. And there's a great quote in my favorite book that talks about that a righteous man will give an inheritance to his children. And it's like, you know, that's part of, you know, God's plan for our life is to be a growing, I don't know, portion of the kingdom, right? It's like we're expanding, not contracting.
That's a great point.
Yeah, we can be a blessing to others by having that blessing, right? To have that extra, we can give even more. So let's transition. Let's talk about that plan. We've been kind of laying it out, but I want to be really clear, practical, how people can move from this accumulation model, if that's where they've been, to see freedom. I mean, when you hear someone like Randy talking about how he, one, was living the life of accumulation, not only from his work, but also personally, but then started seeing the writing on the wall and transitioning out of that. And is speaking from experience, having done this for the last 17 years, Randy, you see cash flow. You mentioned that you have been doing this, have seen lots of market turns. A lot of the people who may be listening to this to you right now, maybe has not even experienced that. Maybe they got out of college after 08. And so they've been on this bull run and everything looks great. So let's talk about what that transition looks like, the plan for someone to start creating cash flow so that way they live from that and not from this, I have to work till I'm 65 or 75.
For sure. Well, and again, I think the sooner you want to gain that freedom, you have to, you know, be willing to be honest with where you're at in your income needs. Now, again, a lot of times people, they're spending beyond their income needs. You know what I mean? Like, it's funny, like I'm kind of a minimalist, and people would laugh because I drive a Ferrari and they're like, dude, like, you're a minimalist and you drive a Ferrari. It's like,
well, cause you don't want more than two people in the car at any time.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. There you go. Yeah. You know, but so like my wife and I, and my daughter, my family, you know, it's not like, I mean, we enjoy life, no doubt, but it's like, I'm not just, you know, I don't have to spend. And I've just not been that way. It's like, you know, and so I think, you know, one thing is to recognize you need to have your lifestyle income at a place where, you know, the sooner you can get to replacing your active income with passive income, the better. And the less, if it's, you know, if it's 250,000 versus 750,000, you'll get there faster. Right. And so, you know, I think that's a point of being cognizant, right? There's some people like they make 300 grand, but they spend 400, right? Like, again, that's just the truth. And there's plenty of doctors that I know that it's like I dealt with one that they wanted us to look at buying their building. And it's like, good God, they were practicing for 20 years and didn't have the money to buy the building that they were in. And I'm thinking, there's something wrong with that picture, right? Like, you know, you've been making 250 to 350 for 20 years and you can't just buy the building, you know? And so the point there, I would say, is you've got to first be reasonably and responsible about managing your expenses and your income. That's step one. Then the second step is then seeing, you know, what is your current asset base? Like, a lot of people we deal with already have a portfolio of money that they've accumulated. Maybe they're 40, 50, 60 years old and they've been saving over time and they've got, you know, a couple hundred thousand or a couple million, whatever that may be, depending on what kind of income they've generated. And with that person there, now you begin to see, okay, how do I start making the transition to taking just those assets that are in an accumulation phase to be into a cash flow producing and accumulation phase? And then that's where a lot of the people we work with, they begin that process where they begin a systematic approach, right? So it's, you know, for me, because of my background, you know, we did bond laddering, portfolio management, the whole nine yards. So I'm a much more systematic type guy. So when we talk with that person, you know, we discuss laying out a multi-year plan to systematically get to the place you want to be. Because I think being willy-nilly or driven by the shiny object, people don't experience the success that they can experience. And you can also begin a tax-efficient approach to transitioning assets into cash-efficient model as well. And so that's for the person, I think, that has money. And again, you've got to see what's the right asset class, where, like, our defined asset class is a multifamily apartments. Now, again, I could have chosen anything in the world, but we have done single family, you know, probably bought and sold 1,000 houses in the last 17 years, and then multifamily. We believe that it is one of the most superior, resilient asset classes that provides the most tax efficient returns. And it's going to be over the next 20 years. You can already see that there's an affordable housing crisis in this country. We are in the place to be. Economics 101, limited supply, growing demand, you've got a winning combination. And so that's what we've chosen. But again, I go back to the transition. A person's got to, one, understand the assets they're going to begin investing into, like the asset class too. I mean, again, not just emotionally like it, but like what it represents, and they can be comfortable with it. And then three, begin a systematic approach to making that transition based on a timetable that they're comfortable with. So, like, you asked me a question in the pre-show, like, do you still got any money in the market? No, we have a lot of money, multi-millions in apartments, right? And now, but I've got my hands on the wheel and I'm driving that ship, right? So that probably gives me a greater confidence. But also, I've looked at everything under the sun, and in my temperaments, I am 100% comfortable with the apartments. Now, that may not be somebody else's temperament. And that's where you've got to come to a place where you can be confident and comfortable in.
Well, and I like what you're saying, Randy, especially the first couple steps, because people come to us sometimes, like you said, and they're spending more than they make. Really, there's no financial band-aid that will help that situation. Like, there's no plan. We teach a lot about infinite banking as a concept for gathering wealth to then deploy into passive income assets. Well, if you're not gathering any cash, you don't have an opportunity fund because you spend it all, it doesn't work. It's not like there's a problem with infinite banking. There's a problem with you, right? So that's why I want to, if you're listening to this, you haven't already taken our Financial Freedom 101 course in our community, I want you to go there. And by the way, if you haven't joined the community, it's a no-brainer. It's free. So go to community.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com and join today. But you can start getting your hands around your cash flow by taking one of the very first courses in there, is the automated budget. So as Randy's talking about, you know, got to get your hands on your cash flow. That is a huge first step to just find out where you're at, right? If you don't know where you're at, you have no idea how to get to where you're going. And so thank you for pointing that out. And
Joey, just let me interject one thing, and I don't want to steal the thunder here, but I used to be in the money management arena. I would not work with you, period, unless you live by a budget. I just, like, you know, and I'm talking, you know, here comes Mr. Doctor Man or Mr. Attorney Man, and, you know, I got $1.5 million and I'm making $400,000 a year. I'm a big roller. And I'm like, well, that's great, Mr. Big Roller, you know, but, like, do you have a budget for your I don't need a budget. I make $35,000 a month. Like, well, you know, yeah, you're not going to work with me then, right? Because regardless of who you are, where you're at, you need to begin to learn the financial discipline of operating from a budget. Because that begins, discipline is what provides freedom. It seems counterintuitive, but that's the truth. And so what you just nailed it, if people haven't joined in the community and taken that class, you got to take the class, because it needs to begin to be part of your pragmatic thinking as it relates to money. Money is an emotional driven thing for most people. Yes. And that's not the way to do it.
No doubt. Well, Randy, if somebody wanted to get in contact with you, find out what you're up to, what would be the best way for them to find you?
Yeah, they can connect together with us directly at our website, which is pcpre.net. So www.pcpre.net. And that's for our Prosperity Capital Partners.
Yeah, and I hope you'll go check out Randy on his podcast, The Real Estate Preacher. I listened to one of your latest episodes, and I was so inspired. It had nothing to do with real estate. It had to do with the four-year-old kid finding joy, and I resonate so much with that four-year-old in so many ways. And Joey, I won't let you say anything. Randy, thank you so much. This is an amazing conversation, and look forward to spending time with you in the future.
Absolutely. Look forward to it, guys. Thank you so much.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand, so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.